Dr. Aaron Ghosh with us tonight, who is looking, ladies, I've got to say, very good. He's trimmed down, he's training, he's, by the way, a lot of people ask about him, he is an attractive man, so, yes, ladies, he's, I don't know, do doctors have time to date?
No, never, right. No, far too busy, absolutely.
So all that happens in the ER is a load of...
Oh, it's all made up, completely, we don't touch the nurses, never go near them.
Right, thank you, first of all, for coming in. You can take the mask off. I haven't got swine flu.
All right, okay.
Thank you very much. Coming in with a mask on, I can't believe it. Right, couple of ground rules tonight, aren't there? Now, yeah. The idea of you coming in is for what reason?
Really, it's to calm the nation down, as it were, and certainly in this area, because there is a mass panic and an attitude of, well, I've been listening to the show for the last couple of days, and you'll know there's people really, really panicking about swine flu. What is it? How long is it going to happen? Are they going to die of it? Is it the bubonic plague? Is it going to wipe out the nation? And really, it's just to answer those questions. Also, from a practical side of point of view, that we're getting a lot of people hounding the doctors at the moment, asking things about what do they do if there's someone at work is diagnosed? What about holidays that they may have booked? How do they protect themselves if they go on a plane? What about children? Can they get cover for them? Also, a lot of people asking about the side effects of these Tamiflu. A lot of people know people on it and are getting side effects. So really, we're going to here to calm people down, hopefully answer their questions, and see whether we can really get some sense made out of this.
But we're asking you not to ring in to ask if you've got swine flu.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Definitely not a diagnosis line. You know, if you really want to get...
We have our number.
You do, you're right. The National Flu Pandemic Line, which is 0800 1513 100. And if you really want to know whether you've got swine flu, then this isn't the show for that, really. We're just going to be hounded with people ringing up, worried if they've got a cough and a cold. And I've been doing that all week. I don't want to do that tonight. What we want to do tonight is actually tell people more about the condition and what to do.
So that's what it's all about tonight. We've got Mikey Dalton coming in from Big Brother, who's had swine flu. We've got Dr. Rebecca Carley, who reckons it's a load of bunkum. She's an interesting lady. She studied at the State University in New York and Downtown Medical Center. That's where she trained as a general surgeon. Dr. Carley, only child was brain damaged as a result of inoculation that he received. She then learned how to reverse the damage with homeopathic
remedies
and natural supplements. She is against inoculations of any sort. She has her own TV show on Long Island, and she's going to tell us that it's a load of bunkum. That should be interesting, shouldn't it?
Looking forward to that one, Pete.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one. She's American, so you know what they're like. If you'd like to have a little read about her.
Right? Oh, right, thank you.
Just so you know what you're dealing with, because I presume you will be interrupting me in this one. So that's what it's about tonight. Simple as that. As I say, we'll be talking to Mikey in a moment, just to find out what it's all like. It's very nice of him to pop in. Hopefully he's got a mask on as well. He is better, isn't he, Greg? Oh, he said he's sorted. Fine. And, of course, we're going to be talking about Tamiflu. I've got to ask about that myself, because this is the curious thing about it. But first of all, let's just hear what Andy Burnham had to say to our lovely Laura Harms.
This is Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
It does seem to be now sort of entering a new stage of the pandemic, doesn't it? And I know that this weekend there was some research out that said that there might not be enough hospital beds to cope when it really, you know, gets to the stage where it's at its height. Is that a worry for you, and do you think that should be a worry for the people of the northwest and of Merseyside, that maybe we haven't got enough?
I would say to people is that this is not a new issue, that you know the NHS has been planning for many years to deal with a possible pandemic. Swine flu, as it happens, is a mild virus. The vast majority of people who've had it have made a very quick recovery. It's not true for everybody, and that's why we do need to take a very close look at our critical care facilities across the country. But no, my message to people is not to worry, to keep it in perspective. Obviously, the NHS is well placed to cope. It's a brilliant and resilient organisation, and so are the staff who work within it. And it's I think we're lucky in this country to have a national health service, which is actually to have a nationally planned system is a very good thing at a time like this, because we've got the ability to plan our capacity and make sure we can get through it.
I mean, are you surprised how swine flu's just sort of hit all the headlines? Because technically they're saying there's so many new thousands of cases, but no one's actually getting tested for it anymore. So how do we know that, you know, all these people have it?
Well, we have some very very sophisticated systems that we use through the Health Protection Agency to pick up levels of consultations in GP surgeries for flu-like illness. So we've got a pretty close picture. Obviously, we know how many antiviral drugs we're issuing, Tamiflu. So we've got a pretty close picture from around the country. And what happened was, between the 8th of July and the 15th of July, all of a sudden, primary care trusts right around the country were reporting exceptional levels of flu-like illness. So there really was a kind of a big change around that time. So we've launched the National Pandemic Flu Service, and what we're doing is encouraging people to go via online or telephone to get diagnosed, and then if they need them, to pick up antivirals that way. That way we're going to relieve pressure on GPs and help the NHS cope. So as I say, we've got plans that we've been working on for a long time, and they're doing the job.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Boom.
Pete Price with Alpha Taxis, 486-8797.
Because people can't give blood when they've got the flu.
Indeed it is, and tonight the programme is just swine flu. Once again, Aaron, can I ask you to explain what we're going to talk about tonight so we can get it right? Because needless to say, we've had 12 calls already asking, have they got swine flu?
Well, this
is
it.
That's not what we're doing.
That's exactly not what we're doing. If you think you've got the signs and symptoms of swine flu, then let's reiterate, that's not the reason to ring the show today, okay? If you want to know whether you've got swine flu, ring the National Flu Pandemic Line, which is 0800 1513 100. Or you can go to the government website, which is all the W's, direct.gov.uk/pandemic-flu. Both of those will have sites where you can check out whether your signs and symptoms really are that of swine flu. Today, we're talking about swine flu and how it affects you. We want people who maybe are worried about people who are going to work or if their child's gone to school. Those sort of questions. Tamiflu, we're going to talk about that. These are the questions that we really want today to try and get that air of calm. Obviously, I will talk about the condition. There is a lot of people out there who are very worried they're going to die with swine flu or very worried in contracting it. And really, hopefully today, we'll talk to people who've got the condition, who've had the condition, and hopefully, for the vast majority, realise it's really nothing more than say, getting normal flu.
Now, I read a statistic, I'm sure you've got it right in front of you, or you'll know about it, that 6,000 people died of flu last year. That was ordinary flu.
Absolutely.
So that then puts it in perspective and puts it into a different proportion, doesn't it? Because
yeah,
that's not happening with Tamiflu, swine flu.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's put it another way. More people died on the roads in the last 2 days than have ever died of swine flu. But does that stop people going out? Does that stop people driving? No, it just means we need to be more careful. We need to look both ways. You need to take the same precautions. It's exactly the same way I would describe this with swine flu. Yes, in the very vulnerable, and those who may be, say, very, very young, very, very old, or with other conditions, it can be potentially quite dangerous. But for the vast majority, it's going to be very, very safe, as long as they take good precautions, washing their hands, covering their mouths, making sure they're sneezing into tissues.
Simple as that.
As simple as that.
So we're here tonight to actually put some of the myths to bed. So if you want to ring in now, the lines at this moment are clear. Oh, we had this huge flurry of calls at the beginning saying, oh, well, I need to speak to the doctor. It's not that. That's what it's about. But if you have a question to ask, now is the time to ring. The number, 0151 708 1059. Every line is clear. Remember, we pay for the calls. You ringers, give us your call number, and we then ring you back, unlike some of the national radio stations that keep you waiting and waiting and waiting, and it costs you a lot of money. So ring now, 0151 708 1059, or text me, text the word city, leave a little space, 61025, or email me, pete@latenightcity.com. Right, I've switched the camera off, I'm sorry about that, because I've got a room full of men, and I'm not prepared to share them with any of you, because we've got Anthony who won't talk, which is sad, because he's a nice-looking guy. And we've got Mickey Dalton. Hello, Mickey.
Hello, how's it going? You okay?
Well, I think you look well.
Yeah, thanks very much.
So how many years is it since you were on Big Brother?
It's been 3 years now. Big Brother 7 I was on.
Wow.
Long time.
Does it feel like a lifetime away or not?
It feels like I've done so much in the past 3 years, but when I watch the show, it does kind of feel like yesterday and brings back everything, but you know, I've kind of moved on now and stuff, so it does feel like a long time ago as well.
I know it's put you where you are and given you that start, but then you've gone on to other things. Do you resent it or regret doing it ever?
No, I'd never say resented the show. Or I mean, I really enjoyed the whole experience and everything that's been since the show. And you know, I mean, I'm enjoying my career now as a music producer and DJ. And you know, I think that nowadays people sometimes are going in for the wrong reasons. I was, you know, 22, 23 when I went in, and I went in to have a laugh. And you know, I was a big brother. You know, I got on and I was made up. But you know, nowadays it seems like people are actually going on for a career move. And you know, if you come out to the show and you know you're fortunate enough to, you know, to come by something and or to be proactive enough to get somewhere, then great. But I think it's a bad decision if you go on to kind of further your career.
Mm. Now we're going to talk about swine flu in a minute, but a great question when you think about it. You're in for a long, long time. What happens when you're ill in the Big Brother? Do they tell you? Is there a routine of what you do, or do you just have to tell them each day? So whatever's wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean, basically, before you go in, obviously, if you've got any medication you need to take, you need to give them all over to Big Brother or the producers or whatever. And you know, every morning, even for like say hay fever, I had hay fever, so I used to go every morning, knock on a diary room door, go in and request for my hay fever tablets, and then half an hour later I get it. And same is, you know, whatever, if you had any other illnesses or, you know, allergies or whatever. Basically, you know, if you are ill, you know, you've got flu-like symptoms or headaches or whatever, you just go, you know, can I have two paracetamol or whatever, and they'll give you them. But if you're seriously ill, then you can see a doctor in private in the diary room off camera.
So that's how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a long time, isn't it? You get all sorts of illnesses.
Three months. I mean, I was lucky enough not to actually be seriously. I mean, you know, but some people were. I mean, some people are a bit over, you know, some people like to be sick, don't they? So I think, but for everyone's sake, there was a doctor there.
So there was no hypochondriacs in there?
Well, I think there was Nikki, who was in my year. I think everyone remembers
that,
Nikki.
That mental one.
Yeah, she's rather crazy, yeah. But yeah, so aside from that.
Everyone, she would make you ill. She is off her head. So before we talk about swine flu, let's ask what you're doing. What are you doing with yourself now with the music business?
Yeah, I mean, I've been touring quite a lot lately, actually, DJing all over the place. I'm in Ibiza next week, I tour Spain quite a bit, and I've been music producing, doing loads at the moment. Got loads of tunes on iTunes, Beatport, all the major download sites and stuff. So really enjoying it, Pete. You know, it's really exciting and to be so creative and stuff. I mean, I'd done music production in uni for 3 years already before the show. Mm. So it was the path I wanted to follow, but you know, it kind of gave me a doorway to, you know, and I've still had to be really proactive and work really hard, but you know, it's paying off now.
Do you still get recognised?
Yeah, you know, everyone's really nice though, so it's obviously not as crazy as it was when it first came out, which was rather hectic, maybe a bit too much to handle. I mean, I really enjoyed every single thing that happened, but it was rather crazy. You know, if you just go to the shop for a pint of milk, you'd literally get absolutely mobbed, you know. So, but now, you know, everyone's really nice, and I enjoy it.
Good, it's nice to be recognised. Well, Anthony forced you to come in, which was very good. Thanks, Anthony. No, we asked you to come in because you've actually had swine flu, and we thought it'd be nice to have somebody who's hands-on. I know he has, but he won't talk about it.
Yeah.
So tell us, when did you have it, first of all?
Well, basically, we went to Vegas about 6-7 weeks ago, and it was my stag do. So we all went, there was about 8 of us on tour, and, you know, partying 5 nights we were there for. So on the last night, Anthony, the quiet one over there, he's not come out. So we're like, come on, mate, you know, it's the last night, let's get out. And he's like, no.
Can we just clarify coming out?
Yeah, well, basically...
you mean you're not coming out partying?
Yeah, partying,
not coming out, coming out. It's a good job you're not on the mic.
Yeah, I mean, he's normally...
So he didn't come out?
No, he's a party animal type as well, so, you know, obviously I knew something was up. Mm-hmm. So we stayed in on the very last night, I couldn't believe it. And then on the way home, I sat next to him on a plane, I was feeling a little bit ill before that on the very last night, but I put it down to partying too much, got home, you know, got crazy hot and cold sweats, and I thought, again, you know, I've been partying hard for 5 nights, I'm going to sleep it off, and I'll see how I am tomorrow. I woke up in the morning, absolutely, like, I just jumped out of the shower into bed, dripping wet with sweat.
Had you come home?
Yeah, this is, at this point, I'm in my own bed at home.
And Anthony got through as well.
Yeah.
No problems with customs.
No problems with customs.
Right. So you'd come through, you got home, and then you were just wringing wet.
Yeah, I went to bed, had a full night's sleep, you know, throughout the whole night, sweating, hot and cold, and literally, you know, say my body was freezing, but my face was absolutely boiling. And so I was like, I said to Grace, that's obviously my fiance, I said, you know, I'm going to have to ring the doctor. So I rang the doctor, my local doctor's office, and they said, you know, the kind of receptionist asks, you know, what's the symptoms, whatever, to make an appointment. So I explained everything. She said, actually, it sounds like you could potentially have some sort of swine flu, maybe. Ring the NHS direct. So I rang the NHS direct, very helpful. 0845 4647, it's a short number. And, yeah, they were great. The guy on the phone, I think it was a doctor on the phone, he said, you know, give me a checklist of around 6 or 7 items. Have you, you know, had hot and cold sweats? Yes. You know, have you, say, a sore throat? Yes. Have you a banging headache? Yes. Did you have, like, aching, you know, muscles and stuff? I was like, yes. And then he said, have you been to America in the past 2 weeks? And I said, yes. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, because that's supposedly a high risk zone.
Yeah.
So he said, listen, you sound like you could potentially have swine flu, so you need to ring your GP and ask him to come round to your house. I said, okay. So I've rang the GP, I've explained what's happened, and then he was great as well. Within the hour, came round to my house. You know, he came around with his mask on. And so on, and then basically, you know, done a few swabs on my throat and stuff like that, and then sent off a the swab in like via courier supposedly to the local office, which was in Manchester, and then he gave me the Tamiflu tablets and said, okay, it's going to take around 2 days to get the results back, but in the meantime, take these Tamiflu tablets. So I said, okay. And I'm thinking, there's no way it's going to be swine flu. I mean, you know, I'm here, I've heard loads about swine flu. I'm thinking, swine flu, you know, it can't be me.
Were you scared?
I was scared, yeah. I mean, you know, when someone... But I think I was only scared because of the way it's been hyped up.
Yeah.
So okay, so I start taking the Tamiflu tablets, 2 a day I've got to take. So, As I'm taking the tablets, I'm starting to feel really lightheaded, really lethargic, and I'm thinking, is it the fact that this flu's doing this to me, or is it the tablets? So I carry on taking the tablets, and it's over the course of 2 days. I've still not heard anything back from the doctors, and then I think to myself, these tablets are making me feel so bad, I'm considering actually not taking them anymore. And then about 20 minutes later, I had a phone call, and it was the NHS direct doctor, and said, yeah, I'm obviously giving you a call back to let you know you have actually got swine flu. And I was like, no, are you serious? I couldn't believe that he'd actually, you know, said I got swine flu. And, you know, because you hear so much, you hear that, you know, people are dying from swine flu and so on and so on. So I was like, oh my God, I've got swine flu. So what do I need to do? He says, don't worry about it, you know, just take your tablets, you know, over the course of the next 5 days, it'll be gone if you finish your course off. So I'm like, okay, but I'm still thinking, oh my God, you know, what if something else happens and this and that. But to be honest, Pete, I mean, you know, I feel it's so over exaggerated. It's unfair to do that to people, because, you know, the media like to build things up, and they like to write about stuff, and they like to scare people as well. And obviously people are scared. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, it was a horrible experience for me to have, and I didn't enjoy.
Not only were you ill, but you were also worried because you'd read and heard everything else. Now, let's leave you for a second. What about the lads? There was 8 of you. Mm-hmm. What happened to all the lads?
Well, I'd actually got it from one of my mates, Anthony, and I told him I had it, and he got diagnosed as well. You know, as soon as I said, listen, I've got it, you know, I've obviously caught it off you because you're ill before me. He got the swab and stuff, and obviously he was found to have swine flu. But the rest of the guys, the doctor just advised me to tell everyone, you know, stay cool, don't worry about it, and unless you've got any flu-like symptoms, don't worry about it, you know, just carry on with your normal business.
So they didn't get it?
No, I mean, you know...
So 2 of you out of 8?
That's it, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was, you know, when I had swine flu, you know, no one would, you know, I was banished to my house. I couldn't leave the house, but me and Grace, you know, my fiancée, she was still with me 24/7.
And did she get it?
She didn't get it.
All right.
So, I mean, I don't really know...
Let's bring the doctor in over that. Aaron, what's that about?
So you obviously got it at the early stage when we were swabbing, and so you really have got a confirmed case of swine flu. Now people are just ringing up and giving their symptoms, so it's much more difficult. Also, How long did you have the symptoms before you got the tablets?
I'd say it was a very short period of time, maybe a day or two.
Okay, so you started them right at the right time as well. Really now people will suffer maybe for 4 or 5 days and it's too late to start the tablets. So what you did was absolutely perfect. You know, you went through the right sort of phone lines, you didn't hound your doctor. When you got the medicine, despite the side effects, you finished the course. Mm-hmm. To be fair to you, that course of tablets probably did nothing but maybe shorten the condition by about a day or so. Probably didn't do anything more than that. Because you're fit, you're healthy, there's nothing else wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You're not asthmatic or anything like that, are you?
No, no.
Okay, so really for you, it was just a bad case of the flu. Mm-hmm. And any man with a flu is probably horrendous. So, you know, apart from being a nightmare on grace, you probably weren't too bad. Okay, and that's the thing to tell people is that really, when you get it, the symptoms are pretty mild. Okay, it's not great. You're going to have a temperature. You're going to be aching. You're going to have maybe a headache. But really, you're not going to die from it. Mm. And you will get better within a couple of days. A week or so later, how were you feeling?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, it took my tablets for 5 days, and, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days after I'd finished the course, I felt, you know, back to full fitness again.
Aaron, why are these tablets making people ill?
Well, they are very strong. These are antiviral tablets, and really, you've got to remember, how many times does flu come around? It comes around every year, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. We don't start dishing out antiviral tablets. They are strong. They do lead to side effects themselves. Ironically, the side effects can be very, like, flu-like. Headaches, achy limbs, sometimes even sore eyes. Conjunctivitis is quite a common one. Gastric symptoms, you can get very sore tummies, you can feel quite sick, nauseous, can even vomit. So they are strong tablets, and that's why we're trying to really encourage the right sort of people to get them. If you've had the symptoms more than 3 or 4 days, you don't really need to have the tablets. They're not going to do anything for you.
What's the difference in Tamiflu tablets and a flu jab, for instance?
Well, this is the big difference, okay? Tamiflu is not going to cure your flu, okay? When the vaccine comes out, that will be a curative. That should hopefully prevent this strain, which is the H1N1V virus, okay? The vaccine that's going to come out will be the cure. It will prevent you getting the condition. What people are doing now, a lot of people are ringing up these phone lines, actually falsifying their symptoms just to get Tamiflu. Mm-hmm. And they think if they take it, they're not going to get it. It's not going to happen at all. They're taking it in the wrong sort of way.
And if they do take it, can they do them any
if
harm?
If they do take it, they're going to get all the side effects that we experienced. Really,
so they're going to bring it on, not bring it on, psychologically.
Psychologically, they may feel they're getting better. Mm-hmm. We had a woman that we've only just realised now has actually got 5 scripts of Tamiflu, so she's obviously getting it and giving it out to her family, thinking that she's doing the right thing. Yeah. But this is the hype that we've called. People are going, I've not got Tamiflu, and they've given it to yourself. Your friends didn't need Tamiflu. It's exactly what we say to everyone who's going to work, who's got the condition. If someone's got it, just be more vigilant. Just make sure you check whether you're getting flu-like symptoms. If you haven't, don't worry.
Now,
carry on.
Why 8 lads go away on a stag? Grace, his other half, is there. Why didn't she get it? Why didn't they get it?
Lots of different reasons. It can be down to immunity. It can be that maybe Grace had the flu last year and therefore gave herself some sort of natural protection. Maybe other people get flu jabs. Certain healthcare workers get the flu jab each year. So again, they may have a slight amount of protection. But really, it's all about contamination. It's all about whether they crossed, I'm not saying you two boys crossed fluids in any shape or form, but was Vegas. But it's more about how you got it. But it is. It's more about, unfortunately, that, you know, it was maybe that he was having a Coke can or something like that and you shared the can or, you know, someone sneezed.
I think we actually put it down to that, didn't we? We shared a drink at one stage.
There would be some saliva on
exactly.
the glass.
Exactly, and you crossed through. And maybe by the time you came home, Grace is probably going to go to my kid, I'm not going near you. Mm. You know, not when you look like that. And it's a bit more vigilant.
Right.
And so if you're washing your hands carefully, this is what we're saying. If you're very careful, if you wash your hands, you take care of yourself, you sneeze, into tissues, you're wiping down surfaces after you use it. Someone who's got the flu is stuck in bed upstairs, not going out, not spreading it around, then you can really contain this condition. And that's why the rest of your friends didn't get it.
You see, but what I was actually told by my GP as well was that I was fortunate to actually get swine flu at this stage because it's later on in the autumn, winter, there's supposedly going to be some sort of super swine.
Yeah. Well, what we're expecting is at the moment, when we do the World Health Organization, we do about different types of pandemic, and you're in different phases, and there's 6 phases. And the final phase is what we're in now, phase 6, and that means that it's very contagious, it's out there in the community. After this, it will fade down, and we've just got to be a bit more vigilant. But unfortunately, there will be a second wave, okay? When the weather changes, there may be a second wave of swine flu coming through that will really, really hit, and that will, because people will be, naturally, their immune systems will be down. We know respiratory problems like asthma flare up, and all these conditions flare up. The elderly are a bit more vulnerable. So normally, we would you know, protect people with a vaccination. We're just desperate to get the swine flu vaccine out before that. So you're right, you know, your GP is correct. Oh. There may be a second wave, which people who've got low immune systems are going to be more prone to it. We're quite lucky with the weather being the way it is at the moment. People are much more likely to be able to sort of fight these sort of conditions off.
Mickey, so how long did it last from beginning to end, would you have said?
Around 2 weeks in total, but you know, between feeling really, you know, ill and then feeling 100%. Yeah. You know, it's to be honest, Pete, I felt like just a normal kind of flu-like symptoms. So you know, I didn't feel like I felt similar to what I've ever felt like before when I was ill.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel like any crazy form of illness.
So didn't feel any different. Just felt like really bad flu.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Except that, you know, I did obviously, like Aaron was saying, you know, I did have some side effects from the Tamiflu. But yeah, aside from that, no, it just felt like a regular flu.
What's your take, and what are other doctors and the medical council saying about flu jabs? So people have flu jabs, as you know, every October. Does it help the immune system?
The flu jab definitely reduces the amount of flu, and actually those who've had the flu jab, which is why we're saying those over 65 and 60 are probably not going to suffer too much with swine flu, because they will have been, most of them would have had the flu jab last year. Mm. So it'll give yourself some protection, but it does wear away. And just like this virus, it will change. The virus will change. Maybe by the time the second wave come back, it will change again. So it doesn't guarantee you protection against swine flu or any type of flu. But if you imagine the vast majority of people are inoculated, then hopefully the flu's not going to come in and wipe, you know, the whole nation out.
We're going to be talking to a lady a bit later, Dr. Rebecca Carley, who's in America, who has got a theory on this, as it's going to be a bit of it's man-made, and well, we've got to talk about it because she believes it's not genuine, and
right.
So just be ready for that. So I'm telling you, you know, the conspiracy theories. But the president has got shares in the company that's making Tamiflu. So be ready for that. So you better now, Maggie?
Yeah, I'm fully recovered now. So onwards and upwards.
When are you getting married?
October.
Big do?
Well, it is, yeah, because she wants everything, Pete. She wants everything. So I better get saving.
That's going to make you worse, isn't it?
Nah, I'm telling you about it.
It's going to be good. How long you known her?
Well, we met on the show. I met Grace on the show.
It's still Grace?
Yeah.
Pete, get with it.
Well, no, I've got to be honest. I'm not a big Brother fan, but I dip into it because I need to know what I'm talking about.
But there are
a lot of my listeners out there just... They have withdrawal symptoms when it comes on. I actually go home sometimes and watch them sleeping, thinking, this is quite relaxing, in the most bizarre way. So a big do, a lot of nice people going to the wedding.
Yeah, it should be great.
Be
really fun. Looking forward to it.
And you're better now, which is great.
Yeah, that's it.
And you'll have a stag party you'll never forget.
Yeah.
Because you went to Vegas, somewhere fluids were swapped. Well, thank you for coming in.
Thanks very much,
that's
Pete.
Really good, that. So when are we going to eat? When we're going to have a top 20, do they still have top 20 records? When am I going to play your music in the Peaceful Hour? Will that ever happen?
Well, I doubt it'll be in the Peaceful Hour because I produce house music.
Really?
Yeah. So,
They are.
But, I mean...
Now, we're on Radio City 96.7, yeah. City Talk, so we're on two stations. Briefly, where's music going right now in that dance genre?
I think people are pushing the boundaries constantly. I mean, I think you need to in order... I mean, you know, house music, it's you know, each year getting different and different, and I think you need to try new sounds all the time, and anything goes, basically. You know, there's no limits. You know, even the layout of, you know, when you're laying stuff down in the software and stuff, there's, you know, it doesn't have to be over 4-bar or 16-bar. You can actually do anything you want to do, you know, and if it sounds right, then do it.
Simple as that. Mickey Dalton and the Quiet Anthony. I'm dying to talk. I've been told he's not going to talk, so that's him laughing. We'll take a break and we'll be back with Aaron. Thank you very much for that.
Pete Price, without
all the different worries about swine flu. So those who maybe have children under the age of one, or if they're pregnant, or if they've got other conditions, we may be talking about the tablets as well, but we are not here to diagnose whether you have swine flu. If you want to know that, then ring the National Flu Pandemic Line, which is 0800 15131300, and they can even issue you your Tamiflu if you need it, but they will certainly put you in the right direction. Or go to the government website, which is www.directgov.uk/pandemicflu, and obviously there is always NHS Direct.
Right, look at that. I've just had an email with this lady's daughter with a mask on. She... I'm laughing here. Oh. She says, Karen says, Peter, my daughter, Alicia, is 10 years old. She was diagnosed with swine flu last night after becoming very ill with a temperature of 39, aching legs, vomiting, etc. We were given Tamiflu, and today she is so much better. I was worried sick. But Peter, what's that? What's that? Just blocked. Strange. Coming out of that. Peter, I was really worried sick, as I'm now, what is going on? I'm trying to read an email and everything's popping up. What the hell? This is weird. I'm so relieved now that it's not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. Yeah. And I'm sure it's ridiculous. So thank you very much. And thank you to the clinic in Old Swan. They were absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic.
Now they are. So we've had Mickey in. Yeah. We've now had Karen on about her daughter. Yeah. We've got to get away from this fear thing, haven't we?
And Karen probably explains it quite well there, that yes, children do look drastically unwell, especially when their temperatures go up. But the minute you give them some Calpol or Brufen, if the temperature's coming down, you're controlling it well, then, you know, very much that's the best place for them to be. You don't have to bring your child into the surgery. I remember you got a call, I was listening on Sunday, when someone rang in and they left a message thinking, I find it absolutely preposterous that a doctor could diagnose swine flu without bringing their child in. The best place for your child is not to be in the GP surgery. I had a child in surgery this week, and it really annoyed me that they brought this young girl in with a raging temperature, and I had a baby clinic going on at the same time where we do the newborn baby checks, and I'm thinking, this person's brought in a child with swine flu, no mask, sitting in a waiting room, coughing and spluttering all over these brand new babies that are less than 6 weeks old. Mm. And so really, if you're worried about your child, do the right thing, ring the phone lines. Yes, there is new guidance out today saying that GPs must see children under the age of one. But if your GP can, he'll probably have a separate time that you can come down and bring your child, or he'll come out and visit.
Right, I've had an email in, a text in. Peter, I'm suffering with swine flu right now and I'm taking the Tamiflu. It really is not nice, but it's not as bad as people say. The other day I was told not to let people near me, as they could turn against me. See, that's another thing I've been getting on the phone in, where people have said, you know, we've had swine flu and we're being treated like...
I think the other thing is employers are being very, very bad about it as well. If someone comes in now and they're worried about whether they've got swine flu, or if they're worried about that they're going to have sort of any conditions, and employers are going, you must talk to your doctor before you come back. You must make sure. But that's really not the case. You know, use some common sense. If they've got the symptoms of swine flu, employees, then of course ring the doctor, or ring the NHS Direct or the National Flu Pandemic Line. But don't just do it purely for your health and safety reasons. We are hounding the system with a very unnecessary calls. I must have had about at least 20 calls this week from people going, I know I've not got swine flu, I know I've just got a cold, but my employer said I've got to ring you and just check. Well, that's no good to me. If you know you've got a cold, if you know it's not swine flu, why are you hounding the system?
Yeah. See, I've been trying to get hold of my doctors, and I went round in the end because I needed some tablets, which I have to take. Mm. I couldn't get through. Phones are... The girls are up the wall, everybody's up the wall, in every surgery and every hospital.
Absolutely. And I really have to admit that since this phone line's come out, it has helped a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But it has been a very, very sharp rise in the amount of GPs having to take phone calls, having to see patients. Just to say something, how I see normally 20 patients in the morning, 20 in the afternoon. Last Monday, I was seeing 40 in the morning, 40 in the afternoon, and doing 20 phone calls on top of that. So you really were being hounded, which is to a breaking point. And you've got to remember, there's only so much that we can do, and only so many people we can get through in a working day. And obviously, if we come down with it as well, then that's really going to make people...
Now, what's happening with the medical staff, nurses and doctors? Are there many cases of swine flu?
There are a few cases. Obviously, we're going to be much more sort of prone to it. But again, we have to be very alert. If we do the same sort of precautions that everybody else does, obviously in those cases who have got it, we will be wearing masks. We will be making sure that we are washing our hands regularly. We're wiping down our surgeries. We're making sure that all the right precautions are taken. There is no need for anyone in the healthcare profession to have prophylaxis treatment, and unless you've got very certain criteria, maybe very vulnerable people. Those who maybe are pregnant or who are immunocompromised, maybe on chemo, who may be looking after people with swine flu, they should really contact their doctor. They shouldn't really be looking after those people. If they can, I would advise, if you are pregnant, if you have got other conditions that lower your immune system, just to take, ask your employee that you can't look after people with swine flu or suspected cases. They're the only ones. Everyone else, get on with your job.
Right, you want to join us, give us a ring. Our lines are clear, 0151 708 1059, or text me, text the word city, leave a little space, 61025, or email me with a question. It's pete@latenightcity.com. It is Radio City 96.7, it's City Talk 105.9. We are joined at the hip, and the subject tonight is swine flu. Now, we're going over to Canada to speak to Dr. Rebecca Carley. Hello, Doctor.
Yes, hello. I'm actually in the States, in North Carolina.
I beg your pardon. Why have they put Canada? How dare they? I will sack the staff.
It's okay.
All right, then. And now, are you going to dispel this myth about swine flu?
Which myth would that be?
Do you believe it doesn't exist?
I believe it was a creation in a laboratory, and there's lots of evidence for that. And I, actually, I know from WHO memorandums that are posted on my website, drcarley.com, that this has been created to cause a pandemic.
But why would they want a pandemic?
Well, apparently, there's a global reduction in population agenda. And that's actually been published in many places, including on Stone here in the States, someplace called the Georgia Guidestones. I also have an article that was published, I believe, in Scientific American about the overpopulation problem that we're facing. But the main thing I want people to realize, I heard some of your discussion with the position you have on, one of the best things that I know of that will deal with all viruses that I've ever heard it was tested on is something called colloidal silver. In fact, on the front cover of the Pravda newspaper out of Russia on May 1st, there was an article that colloidal silver is your best defense against swine flu. And this is something that people can buy in a health food store. You can get a generator and make your own. This is something that's been around for at least a couple hundred years. You can also use a nebulizer and actually breathe it into your lungs.
You were trained, weren't you, as a general surgeon? And
yes.
When did you change your style of?
When did I step out of the box? 12 years ago, my only child was brain damaged from inoculations, and that's when I started to investigate what the real deal is as far as vaccinations. And to make a long story short, I developed a protocol using natural therapies to reverse vaccine-induced diseases, which include all autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets. And I am, as far as I know, the only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. And I testify on a regular basis in court for individuals who have been vaccine damaged.
Dr. Carley, Dr. Aaron Ghosh here, but the one thing I would have to say about this is that the flu virus itself does change every single year, as we know. And flu and viruses are very, very clever. I mean, those immunologists will always say that viruses are incredibly clever, that they can always keep one step ahead of us. And disease always seems to do that. What would you say that this is a natural progression of this virus, and that it has evolved like all of the viruses and keeps changing, which is why one of the reasons we can never find a cure for flu or the common cold?
Well, I would say the viruses aren't nearly as clever as the mad scientists that are working in the over 1,000 biological warfare labs just here in the States itself. There was actually a very excellent documentary done, which the listeners can obtain from PBS.org, and this is the public broadcasting system, entitled Killer Flu. And this goes into great detail as to how a molecular pathologist from the Army Institute of Pathology by the name of Jeffrey Taubenberger went to Alaska and dug up dead bodies of people that died from the 1918 flu brought it back to the States, decoded it, and genetically recreated it. Very interestingly, there's an article on which he is a co-author published in the New England Journal of Medicine on July 16th of 2009, The Persistent Legacy of the 1918 Flu Virus, comparing the swine flu virus to the 1918 virus.
But what about, we've had other viruses since 1918, avian flu, we've had chicken flu, there's so many different types of flu that have been around. Even in the lifetimes here, in the 1930s, we've had a flu pandemic then. Are you saying that was biological warfare as well?
Well, what I will say is that I know that they're doing experiments to weaponize many of these viruses. I actually have a book that's entitled Ethical and Philosophical Consideration of Dual Use Dilemma in the Biological Sciences, where they actually talk about weaponizing viruses, and they're talking about the ethics of doing this. As far as I know, I have never found any case where a virus can cross species unless it's tweaked to do so. How could a swine flu combined with a bird flu combined with a human flu in nature? I don't think it's possible. And let me also mention that Baxter International sent 72 kilograms of live bird flu virus to four European countries earlier this year. That is the focus of a Austrian journalist by the name of Jane Burgermeister, who's filed criminal charges against them. Coincidentally, they also were just ready to license a bird flu vaccine at that time. So it's basically.
But we know the humoimmunovirus, HIV virus, is also found in animals. We know there's lots of viruses that are very, very similar that are found in conditions. We know there's people around the world that live in very close proximity with animals. The transmission could be very easily done. For example, that's why we believe this condition started in Mexico, where people were living in close proximity to, you know, swine and pigs. It seems quite logical
that could come in. Apparently, from my investigation, and this is all I do, is investigate biological weapons, that the people that were living in Mexico, patient number one, did in fact live next to a swine farm, and there was no cases of swine flu on that farm. So I can't, document everything, because obviously a lot of these things are being done surreptitiously. But what I do want to, the message I would like to give to the listeners is the last thing that I would do if I was you is take any bird flu, swine flu, whatever flu vaccine, because as was just mentioned, in fact, these viruses do have a huge potential to mutate. There is no way they could, first of all, vaccines create disease, and I explain how that works in the papers on my website, drcarly.com. But let's pretend they did work. If they're making a virus right now, and they're going to distribute that, or making a vaccine, and they're going to distribute that vaccine, say, in 5 months, the potential for mutation is tremendous, and there's no way that vaccine could protect you. In fact, that's the reason they change the regular flu vaccine every year, is because of this shift, as they call it.
Mm. Are you saying that all vaccines are bad?
Yes, that's exactly.
Every single vaccine?
Yes.
Even though we've eradicated some childhood illnesses that used to be incredibly common, and the evidence is there, even in my own experience, the evidence of childhood illnesses I've seen deteriorate since these vaccines have come out. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, and I'm very, very sorry to hear what happened to your own child there, but I'm not saying there isn't side effects, and that when you give anything to the mass population, there will be people that will react untoward to these vaccines. But for the vast, vast majority, surely inoculating the population is the safest way forward.
Well, we'll have to respectfully disagree on that statement. As far as I'm concerned, that is the biggest myth that's ever been started as far as medicine is concerned. In fact, when you actually investigate polio basically being eradicated in most developed countries, polio is an enteric virus that is spread through feces and urine and things of that nature. And polio was eradicated because of the development of sanitation systems and hygiene. In fact, they actually changed the name of the polio disease caused by vaccinations to aseptic meningitis in order to hide that fact. Excuse me. They stopped giving live polio vaccines here in the States in the 80s because the only way people were getting polio was from the vaccine. If you have a working immune system, you are going to be able to handle anything that you're exposed to inoculate directly into the bloodstream multiple viruses at one time, bypassing the secretory IgA in the upper respiratory and GI tracts, which is critical for the development of natural immunity. You actually cannot push those viruses out of your body. In fact, there's a book called Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, which doctors study all over the world when they're studying internal medicine, and they actually state in there that inoculations do not prevent disease. They give you a chronic infection. One of the biggest lies that's been told to the doctors especially, which is the reason they're encouraged to continue this superstitious belief, is that the antibody production caused by a virus when you inject it into you is going to protect you from disease. In fact, the antibody is only one arm of the immune system. The T cell system, which are the cells that are activated by an antibody that covers an antigen, are paralyzed when you have massive doses of viruses and adjuvants that cause this massive antibody production injected into the body.
Dr. Carley, are you saying then that all the medical staff throughout the world are wrong and you're right?
Oh, I'm not the only one that's saying this. I work with, there's at least 250 medical doctors and veterinarians that say the same thing I do. As a matter of fact, on my website, there's an article entitled Science of Vaccine Damage out of the UK, where multiple non-pharma-funded veterinarians have, in fact, documented everything I'm saying, that all of these autoimmune diseases are caused by vaccination. There was no such thing as cancer before they started this practice of inoculation. And I have many books published by NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization's Life Sciences series, one especially entitled Immunological Adjuvants and Vaccines, where they actually admit back in the 1980s.
Dr. Carley, does it matter who invented this vaccine or who invented this virus and why it's out? It is out. And it's not killing the population as a mass. I mean, we have 26 deaths so far associated. It doesn't seem to have really done the job that you and, you know, what you're suggesting it was there to do.
That's because the vaccine hasn't been started yet.
And then more people will die.
The vaccine is what's going to start the pandemic. And I just want to finish what I was saying about this NATO book. It's the aluminum in vaccines that's causing the production of IgE. IgE is the antibody of allergy and anaphylactic shock. Mm. They have known this since the early 1980s, and they continue to use it. Because unfortunately, when medical science has made a terrible mistake, they can't admit that they've done so. Imagine the lawsuits that would be activated if everybody in the world that had autoimmune disease, cancer, genetic damage, things of this nature, had proof that the vaccines caused it. There's not enough money in the global economy.
Well, I think the medical world does realize that it makes mistakes. I think Pete will tell us himself through his own personal experience that he's been treated maybe in certain ways for certain conditions that are now probably would look back and say are absolutely horrific. We used to use treatments all the time that we now know have probably been the worst things. That, for example, our treatments of syphilis, when we used to inject them with mercury, actually killed more people than the condition did. So we've known that we've always made mistakes. I don't think any of the doctors should be or are arrogant enough to think that they always get it right every time. But to say that we're hiding it now and we're too embarrassed to go back seems a little bit far-fetched to me.
Well, I encourage you to read the documents on my website. I've had a $10,000 reward on my website for any vaccine promoter to come on my internet radio show and prove me wrong. I'm afraid that when you actually do your due diligence and investigate these matters, you will find that, in fact, what I'm saying is true. It's not just a matter that vaccines are a bad treatment. The vaccines are creating disease. And certainly you realize that Big Pharma has pretty much taken over medical school education. There's an excellent book entitled The Medical Mafia by Dr. Guylaine Ling To, where she goes through the history of how the AMA especially was designed to bring Big Pharma into medical school education. Doctors no longer know how to treat anything naturally. And in fact, I know that in the UK there's a big debate now where they're trying to make homeopathy no longer be covered by the NHS. Homeopathy is a wonderful natural way to treat all conditions. And in fact, Big Pharma is trying to take it out because of that fact, because Big Pharma is a...
But here, the chairman of the homeopathic hospital itself, the actual person in charge of all of this, has actually turned around and said the evidence just isn't there. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a strong believer in certain types of homeopathic remedies. Not for everything, but for certain ones. But even I have had... read it this quite often. We often have this debate on the about alternative therapies on the radio shows here, but it just, the evidence just isn't there to back it up.
Isn't there for homeopathy working?
This is I'm taking now from the chairman in charge of the entire we have 6 homeopathic hospitals in this country that have actually recently just had all their funding taken away because of this lack of evidence. And unfortunately, we do work in an evidence-based medicine now, and that's the way we would progress forward.
Right. Well, first of all, I would like anybody to present any evidence that vaccinations work. There is no evidence that vaccinations work. That's first of all. If you actually check it out, you will find that's true. In terms of homeopathy, them taking away the coverage now, the same thing happened here in the States. As a matter of fact, there's a Samuel Hahnemann Medical College in Pennsylvania. They're no longer allowed to even discuss homeopathy in the college that's named after the founder of homeopathy. So Big Pharma has a very... long arm, and that's basically what I have discovered in my investigation. The protocol that I have developed, which I call the Hippocrates Protocol, that I've been teaching people to use for 12 years, has reversed all autoimmune diseases, seizures, and cancer in people and in pets. And of course, no one will do any kind of investigation into this, because there will be a big realization amongst the public that not only aren't they being told about natural therapies, in fact, here in this country, they're trying to make vitamin supplements a prescription item and taking them away from the public. So that's the state of affairs. That's what I know. I don't believe it. Let me make it very clear. I became a surgeon because I wanted to help people. When I worked in the hospital in Brooklyn, the biggest trauma center in the world, I actually saw a lot of experimentation going on. That was the first thing that I had a real big problem with. Research fraud was very serious at the institution that I trained in. And as I started to investigate natural therapies, I realized I myself was cured of 2 conditions with homeopathic sugar pills put under my tongue, which helped me avoid having major surgery on a non-union fracture of my foot and got rid of endometriosis. I never learned the word homeopathy in medical school. That's when I started to investigate these things, was because I realized there was a reason I never learned that word. And in fact, in my discussions with other homeopaths, they're now being warned not to even speak out against vaccinations, because this is the sacred cow of the medical profession. This is how they're creating. All internal medicine disease is from vaccines. And eventually it will be realized that, in fact, that's true. Just like about 100 years ago when Dr. Semmelweis tried to get people to wash their hands after they were in the morgue before they did deliveries, he was put in a mental institution. Well, now I'm trying to get them to realize that they have to stop injecting germs into people. You just said how they were treating syphilis with mercury and killing people. So then why are they still putting mercury in vaccines? Why are they putting formaldehyde and all kinds of things, aborted baby parts? Animal parts. They're actually creating chimeras, animal-human hybrids, because there's no way to get the tissue culture out of the vaccine you inject into people. And in fact, there's been all kinds of studies. The polio vaccine had this SV40 virus in it that was found to cause all kinds of cancers. And the researcher who discovered that was fired from her job, and they kept on using it for another 15 years. So I tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself, because right. Your life is on the line.
And where can they check it out?
You have to do your due diligence. You have to go on the Internet, and I'm not saying to believe everything you read on the Internet. You can get research, peer-reviewed studies, the documents on my website, especially the one I mentioned, Science of Vaccine Damage, actually, as I said, has all these research studies done by non-pharma-funded veterinarians, because, of course, companion animals are being made sick and killed even faster than humans because of all the vaccines that they're getting.
Yeah.
I also just want to mention there's a YouTube
Very video. Briefly, please, because I'm running out of time.
Okay, there's a YouTube video at the top of my homepage of a show I did on July 11th with this Austrian journalist, Jane Burgermeister, a veterinarian researcher, Patricia Jordan, and another researcher from Illinois. I encourage all of you to listen to that interview. Check it out for yourself, folks. Read the WHO memos that are on my site and decide for yourself if they're not finding ways to cause disease.
Dr. Rebecca Carley, thank you very much for joining us.